In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is Life Sunday, and we observe this every January. And if you don't know, there's the primary reason we do this in January is because on January 22nd, 1973, is when the Supreme Court issued their ruling in the case Roe versus Wade and essentially legalized abortion at that time. So since then, the church has, in January, thought it was right to remind ourselves of the importance and sacredness of life. Now, obviously, there are many other issues. There are many other issues the church needs to address. But I think we all need to understand that this one is one of the biggest that our generation has faced and has to face. When our nation says it's okay to murder babies in the womb, we have to speak against it. That's why we do every January. Now, that's not the only issue. There are other issues. And the other one I'll talk about briefly today is following closely behind abortion, and that's assisted suicide. And you've probably heard that this is gaining a lot of momentum in our country. We have 5 states out of our 50 that where it is legal for physicians to help people commit suicide in the last 6 months, you know, if they have a diagnosis of 6 months or less to live. So this is becoming a major issue. So if I can kind of picture this, what's happening, if we're going to say at the beginning of life here, up till birth, it's okay to murder, and if we're going to say, well, at the end of life, if it's within 6 months, it's okay to murder, guess how little it takes to kind of start stretching that and say, well, sometimes in the middle, it's okay too. And if you think I'm using a scare tactic, then I think you probably are just a little naive, and we need to wake up about this a little bit. Now, I'm going to come back to those two. That's not by any stretch the only thing I want to talk about today. I'll come back to abortion and euthanasia at the end of the sermon. But first, we have to get there, and we're going to do that by looking at Jesus' transfiguration. And the reason Jesus' transfiguration is so wonderful is it reminds us that in any suffering we have to go through, there is hope in it. There's no hope in abortion or in assisted suicide. There's no hope in murder. But there is hope in suffering, and that's what we want to talk about with Jesus. Now, if you happen to have that sermon insert available to you, I'd ask you just look at that picture a minute, because it's helpful. And that's the picture, you know, like any picture, it can speak more than I can. So, even on the front of your bulletin, there's a picture of the Transfiguration, but I like this one that I put on that sermon insert for a reason, which I'll get to. So if you look at that picture, you'll see on the bottom are the 3 disciples. Only 3 of them got to go up and see it, Peter, James, and John. And you'll see in the picture they're kind of shielding themselves because they're frightened of the glory of Jesus. So they're there. And then right above Jesus, you'll see is Moses. You can tell it's Moses because he's got the staff and the 2 tablets, the 10 commandments. And so then that means Elijah is the one just to the right of Jesus. Now here's where this particular picture I like so much and where it's so helpful. You'll notice there's Elijah standing right next to Jesus, even with his hand on Jesus, and he's pointing to something. And here's these guys on this mountain, the Mountain of Transfiguration, but then they're pointing at this other mountain. And we know that mountain, Mount Calvary. He's pointing over there. You see the 3 crosses, the tallest of which, of course, is waiting for Jesus. Now, you might be tempted to think, well, this is just some artist's imagination. They wanted to think Elijah was talking. Well, it's not. In the reading we use on Transfiguration, Matthew, he doesn't record this, but Luke does, that when they were there, they were talking about his exodus, his death. So, yes, maybe they weren't actually looking and seeing the crosses, but that's what they were talking about. They were talking about his death. So, bear with me a little bit. I'll give you a quick rundown of how this goes. On their way up the mountain, or just before the mountain, Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. And what did they say? No. No suffering, no death. Peter actually says, no, never happen. I'll never let that happen. Right? And Jesus says, well, it's got to happen. Then they get up to the mountain, and guess what? Moses and Elijah are talking about his death again. You know, they're talking, and Peter overhears it, and what does Peter say again? No, this is not right. Quit talking about suffering and death. He says, let's just stay here. You know, stop pointing to that mountain over there. I don't want Jesus to go there. Let's stay right here. I'll build some tents. He says, I'll make one for Moses and Elijah. We can just camp out here, and it'll be all great. Well, of course, God has to interrupt Peter. It says, hey, zip it, you know. Listen to Jesus. This is my beloved son, right? I'm well pleased with him. You listen to him. Okay, I guess we're going to have to talk about suffering. Then, if that's not enough, when they get down the mountain, Jesus tells them again a second time, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer there. I'm going to die there. And again, it tells us the disciples, they couldn't make any sense of this. Why would anyone want to go to suffering and death? And so, to the very last, they're still trying to get him to avoid that suffering all the while. And, you know, we look at it and we say, come on, guys, he has to do that to save us. But no, they're trying, they want to avoid the suffering. So you remember what Peter does, even in the Garden of Gethsemane when they come to arrest Jesus. You know, he pulls out his sword, cuts off the ear of the soldier, like he's going to stop the whole thing. And Jesus says, no, he heals the ear again and says, Peter, this is where I'm going. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this, and I want you to have this picture of Jesus knowing he's going to the cross and us trying to avoid it, see, we are exactly the same as the disciples. We would like, at any cost, to avoid suffering. That's what the disciples wanted. They want to just stay there where everything was safe and comfortable. They want to bask in the glow, right? Jesus in all his glory. Stop talking about going to suffer. We don't want that. And that's our attitude too, right? We want to stay where we're at, where it's safe, where it's comfortable. Or sometimes we do this. We look back and we like long for these bygone days where we say, oh, if I could just go back when everything was good and all right. I don't want to go through this. I'd rather go back. And instead of moving forward in faith and facing the suffering, we're tempted to say, I want to go back to where I was, or I want those days where everything was easy, or if I could just stay right here where everything is all right. And in that way, we're like Peter. We would say to Jesus, Jesus, I see you've got this suffering for me, but I don't want to go there. I'd rather just stay right here where I'm comfortable, where I'm happy. Let's build some tents right here, right? We'll just camp out right here. I don't want to get any older, right? I don't want to work any harder. I don't want to try to change anything. I don't want to suffer through this illness, whatever. I don't want to suffer. Now, what do you think Jesus says to that? When we say, I don't want to go through that suffering. Well, we know what he says because he said it many, many times. He says, follow me. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Follow me. Now, let me remind you of two quick little accounts. One time, Jesus says to a guy, follow me. You probably remember this. And he says, okay, but first I got to go back and bury my father. And Jesus says these words that to us, boy, they sound bad. He says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. And we're like, wait a minute, Jesus, he wants to bury his dad. What's the matter with you? You want to let him go do that? But see, this is the whole problem. It's not about burying the guy's father. It's about his heart. He doesn't want to go suffer with Jesus. And then right after that, another guy says, well, yeah, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say bye to everyone. And then Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, both of them, again, are examples of us. Yes, I'd like to follow you, but I just want to go back here first. And take the picture of the bulletin, just in your mind, I'm saying, and put yourself right by Jesus. And you and I are saying, Jesus, I don't want to go through that suffering, right? I'd rather just stay here where I'm comfortable, where everything is all right. And Jesus is pointing at the cross and saying, come on, follow me. You know, that's where we're going. Beyond that cross and beyond that suffering is hope. There is hope right? I've been to that cross, he says. I've been there for you already, and I rose from the dead for you, and I have a place prepared for you in my Father's house. Come and follow me, and you will find there's hope. Now, for each one of us now, this gets different, right? I can't, as a pastor, I can't tell you what suffering you might be trying to avoid, because it's always going to be a little different. Maybe you're getting older, and it scares you, and you don't want to go through that suffering of just aging, of being elderly. That's frightening. Or maybe you've got an illness, and you know it's going to bring suffering, and you don't want to go through that suffering, and you kind of long for if everything was just all right again, if I was okay again. Or maybe, this is one we sometimes deal with, we're full of shame and guilt over something we've done, and we don't want to deal with it, because we know it's going to bring suffering from the consequences of dealing, of having to deal with what we did. And we say, no, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather just, you know, stand still right here or turn back the clock or something. Or you may not, this is a hard one, you may not want to suffer for being truthful with people. We just kind of want everyone to like us. We want everyone to be happy with us. We don't want to go and die on that hill where we have to tell someone that what they're doing is not right. So I don't know what it is, what cross will lie ahead of you, but for every one of us, Jesus is there, standing there saying, follow me. Through this suffering, there is hope. And this is all over the scriptures. In Romans chapter 5, this is the best one. You all kind of know the verses. He says, suffering produces perseverance. And then that's where we kind of stop. I don't know that we always know the rest of it. Suffering produces perseverance, but perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering produces hope. Right? If we go through the suffering, we know there's always going to be hope in it. And, you know, remember our theme for 2018. We're baptized into Christ, and that means that cross that lies ahead of me doesn't have to scare me, because I've already died with Jesus. I'm already dead and risen with Him. I don't have to be afraid of anything. And that's why he says, follow me, it's going to be okay. There's hope in this suffering, right? We'll get through it. We'll get to the other side. We don't need to be Peter there saying, no, Jesus, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. Let me just be comfortable, stay right here. Just let everything be all right. No, we have Jesus, and we keep following him. So finally, then, I come back to these two important issues of our day, abortion and euthanasia. And if you look at both of them, what the essence of both of them is hopelessness. It's hopelessness. They feed on hopelessness, right? They feed on avoiding suffering rather than having hope of going through it. That's what both of them are. Okay, so for example, so you can have a concrete picture, let's say a woman is pregnant and for many and various reasons, she doesn't want to go through the suffering of carrying the baby, delivering the baby, raising the baby, whatever. And maybe it's not even her. Maybe it's the father. He doesn't want to go through the suffering. Or maybe it's the grandparents. They don't want to go through the suffering. And so they take this situation and they say it's hopeless. It's hopeless. And their only hope, they think, then is to eliminate the baby, right? Stay right here where we're comfortable and all right. Avoid suffering at any cost. But what, of course, happens? This just brings more suffering. I mean, the pain of it, the guilt and shame of it, spending all the years after trying to make up for it, it's hopeless. And then assisted suicide works the same way. A man or woman is nearing the end of his life and doesn't want to suffer any longer, or maybe doesn't want their family and friends to see them suffering any longer. And he thinks, the only hope I have is to end my life. But what happens? It just brings more suffering. Because ending a life is never going to bring hope to anyone. Instead, he's going to leave family and friends wondering why he would choose to leave them early and why they couldn't be, why weren't they there for him in his most needful hour? It doesn't solve anything. Both of them work on this same basic level. They promise this hope that just they can't deliver. It's a completely false hope. No hope comes through killing. And at the root of it, what is it? It's unbelief. It's us trying to avoid suffering rather than trusting Jesus that there's hope in this. And that's our greatest joy as Christians, that whatever suffering is before me, I have hope in Jesus. that He's going to be with me. I mean, we're tempted at times to say, oh, it's hopeless, right? It's hopeless. I'll never make it through it. But Jesus is always there, pointing to the cross, follow me, right? Here's my promise. Here's baptism for you. Here's the Lord's Supper, your inheritance. You know, just keep following me. And that's how, as Christians, no matter what the suffering is, we have hope. And of course, one more note to make, what is our hope? Jesus shows us on the mountain, shining in all His glory. That's our hope, the glory of the kingdom of heaven, which is far greater and brighter than anything we could imagine. So take heart, friends, whatever suffering there is, there's always hope in Jesus. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.